Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome, everybody, to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is episode number 19. I'm here with my brother, Sasso Mendez, and this part of the show, we've coined it Taco Talk. Mm-hmm. And so if you've not joined us in previous episodes, this is about, basically about tacos. we talk about
food. It is Tuesday.
We take about 7, 8, maybe 10 minutes, and we talk about mostly food, but oftentimes we talk about tacos. One thing that we also talk about is, we kind of talk about some of the things that have happened in the past couple of weeks. So for Sasso and I, we both had seniors graduating.
Yeah.
So how'd that go for you, man?
I gotta tell you, Ben, I got a little emotional. I didn't expect myself to be emotional. Same here. I didn't think anything of it. Like, I just saw, oh, it's cool, my son's graduating. And then just like you, when they started showing the slideshow, and I saw Nate in various stages of life from a young kid, and I got overwhelmed, I remember, tell you a funny story, that there was a girl that he went to the neighbor's house when he was like 5 or 6, and they were watching some Disney movie, and the guy was a Christian, and so he had grandkids. They went over, Nate was swimming there, and they were watching a movie, and there was, I don't remember, Nate could remember this, but they were watching a part of that Disney movie, and I guess it got romantic. And the girl leaned over and kissed him, and he was like 6 years old. And she said she got overwhelmed with the love, which was, and he was just like, didn't know what to do. And that's the same thing here. I just got overwhelmed with emotion just seeing that slideshow. It wasn't a Disney movie, but
yeah. For you single guys out there, don't try that. Don't try that at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I was overwhelmed with love.
It doesn't work, let me tell you. I tried it. It doesn't work. But yeah, it was a very emotional time. And then they got baptized on Sunday, my kids. And
that was sweet.
And then Nate went to camp. And so, yeah, I don't want to get into all that because I'm going to start crying here on the air. You won't see it. But yeah, how was it for you? How did you take it when Razzie graduated?
Yeah, same thing. There was a family in front and there was a young lady, and she asked if she asked if I was excited because Razzie was graduating, and I said, yeah, I'm definitely excited. And then she asked, are you gonna cry? And I said, no, I don't usually cry for these things. I said, my wife might get emotional, but I cry for some things, but just this, probably not this. And just like you, I started watching the slideshow and seeing Razzie, baby, toddler, adolescent, teenager, graduation. And honestly, bro, like, I got pretty a little emotional, man.
Yeah, me too.
Tears were welling up, man. But you know what, we had a good party for Razzie. We rented out this it was actually the same location where we had Freddie's graduation, and it was pretty cool. It was a good size. We did pulled pork. We did a lot of pulled pork. We did some chicken too, but mostly pulled pork and
five
and tacos. But what's interesting about the pulled pork is I counted them today. Went to 5 other graduation parties, so 5 total that week, and they all had pulled pork. I will say that I'm including FTL in there because FTL had pulled pork.
We had pulled pork too.
So I'm just thinking, man, it was like a full week of full on pulled pork.
My good thing you're not Jewish. You know what I'm saying? Wow.
My stomach was filled. My stomach's cup was filled.
What I call unclean, do not call that unclean. Like, you talk to Peter.
Right.
Because if you're Jewish, that, oof.
It's not unclean no more.
That pork week. Woo.
You know what? I love pork though, man. I got to be honest. When I go to the taco shop, the El Pastor is
good.
That's my favorite, man.
You like pineapple on that El Pastor?
Or no? Oh man, that's the best. You know when they got on that like rotisserie, like, man, that the
gyro machine,
the gyro machine. Yeah, oh. They're shaving it off fresh. And there's got little burnt crispy ends on it. Oh man,
what if I did that for Kate's graduation 3 years? Just get one of those and just carve them off.
Wow, that's not a bad idea, bro.
Think about that, right?
Wow,
yeah. I can start saving now for that.
Well, you're 1 year ahead of me, so if you make that happen, let me know. And
I gave you the guy's card.
I may do it for Jaden too.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a lot of pork. Tom's house had it. I didn't go to other Tom's. Tom Manny, TC.
Yeah, both toms had pulled pork, and man, they were both good. The first tom had smoked his pork just like me, and they had imported some barbecue sauce from I think from Iowa.
They had pumps.
Yeah,
that's how much barbecue.
It was like a gallon. You can pump it up. It was like a gallon of barbecue sauce, but it was good. They had the spicy one. Did you? I don't know if you tried.
The I had spicy a little one. Sandwich. I don't know if I had the spicy one, but he brought like some to Larry in a little water bottle. Okay. I thought Larry was trying to get healthy, like it was V8, but it was straight barbecue sauce. I was giving him props. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, it's barbecue sauce.
So he brought his own barbecue sauce.
No, so Tom had, from those bottles, poured Larry some in like a little water bottle of barbecue sauce. So I saw Larry with the bottle.
So he took it home?
And I thought it was greens and he was eating healthy, like, you know what I mean? He was juicing, but he's juicing barbecue sauce to put on his pork.
It was like a V8.
So it wasn't as healthy. We didn't have pulled pork at our house. We kind of had some nachos and some beef and
the baklava, bro. So I finally learned how to pronounce this baklava, and it was delicious. I mean, I've never had it before, so I don't have like a reference point. But I can honestly say I couldn't stop eating it.
I think it's like Middle Eastern because people would say baklava. I've heard it say that. Like you remember, Hala used to say it baklava. But yeah, then the missionary this Sunday night talked about it was one of the desserts. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So I mean. I don't remember when Rebecca learned to make that, but she does a pretty good job.
Well, it was baklava right in my mouth, bro.
Not the Macarena, but the baklava.
Baklava. It was good, bro.
It's like a new dance. But yeah, a very emotional couple weeks here. Yeah. Lainey and Adrian were able to come, and then Nate and Kate got baptized, and Nate went to camp. So it's weird. Now we just have three people in our house, which is a weird dynamic when you lose. I mean, you know, when you lose a party member of the family, it's just different, you know.
Yeah, Razzie's going to be taking off here in a couple of weeks for a week at Faith Baptist Bible College. And then he'll be back for a little bit and then gone to camp and then back for a little bit and then
that's crazy.
Off to college.
Time goes fast.
Yeah, it's...
People tell you that, but you don't... Until you go through it, you just don't know.
Well, it's just like... I remember just Razzie being born and just... It's crazy. The slideshow. Okay, I don't want to talk about this now. Let's stop.
All right. Do you want to get into Taco Talk? We done with Taco Talk?
I think we're done with Taco Talk. But before we jump into the content, I just want to remind you guys, would you please subscribe to the show? If you're on Apple Podcast, just subscribe. And if you do me a favor, rate the show. Would you, if you just give us a rating and if you want to give us a review, that'd be awesome too. The reason I ask for the rating is because it will help the podcast become more visible in Apple Podcasts when people are looking for podcasts to listen to. And one other thing, you can visit us at abundantlife.fm. And when you visit, you can check out the show notes and that kind of thing. But also do me a favor when you visit the website and share. And there's some share buttons, which makes it super easy. But share the episode with on your favorite social media platform. And that way, we get a little more visibility with the podcast. And again, Sasu and I are not concerned really about numbers. We just want to be a blessing and be able to get God's word in front of people. So,
yeah, man. Gail said she is subscribed. So shout out. Thank you, Gail, for subscribing.
Gail, you're awesome. We love Gail. Gail's awesome. And Jason, you're okay too.
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah. He makes a mean steak. I will say that.
I've not had Jason's steak yet, man. I don't know, man. Maybe one of these days I'll be lucky enough to be invited.
Maybe. Yeah. It was very, very good. So,
well, let's jump into the content here. So we've been wanting to do an episode on this for a little bit now. And we decided to do this episode on forgiveness. And so just like normal, we like to kick off with the Webster's 1828.
All right. Let's go to what Webster's 1828 says on forgiveness. It says they define it as the act of forgiving the pardon of an offender by which he is considered and treated as not guilty. The forgiveness of enemies is a Christian duty. The pardon, and this is funny, the forgiveness of enemies is a Christian duty. That's in a dictionary. You won't find that in today's dictionary. The pardon or remission of an offense or crime as a forgiveness of sin or of injuries. Disposition to pardon, willingness to forgive, and mild forgiveness. Intercede to stop the coming blow. Remission of a debt, fine, or penalty.
Yeah, and you know, let's kind of begin by talking about what forgiveness is not. Okay, so it doesn't mean, you know, bro, you know, now you owe me a solid. Okay, because you know, I think sometimes we think that that's what forgiveness is. You know, forgiveness means that the debt is canceled, and you no longer have a hook the debtor does not owe anything. It's like, you know, you go into the restaurant, you know, we had, in fact, we just went out to a really good pizza place here recently. And
Very good.
The pizza was bomb, by the way. Maybe one of these days we'll reveal our favorite pizza place there. It's Chicago style. So it's my favorite Chicago style. I do have a favorite New York style, but anyway, I'm getting off track on food again. But it's like we go to the restaurant, you pay for your food, and once it's paid for, you don't owe anything else, okay? There's nothing else that should be expected by the restaurant to pay for. Once you pay for it, it's paid for. And so I think oftentimes we, you know, quote unquote forgive, but we act like the debt is, you know, partially paid. You know, we bring up things from the past. We argue with generalized sweeping statements as if we never forgave that person. And we do this all the time. I know I catch myself often doing this, even with my wife. That's sin. That's bad.
Me as well. Yeah. You want to be offended for a little bit longer. You don't want to forgive yet.
Well, you want to, again, it goes all down to pride, which
absolutely
a lot of men deal with this. But anyway, and maybe that's what's so hard, why it's so hard for us to believe that receiving the gift of salvation is so simple, because I require a lot for forgiveness, and we feel that we have to give something in order to be forgiven by God, because, you know, we're measuring it by our own standards. We think that, you know, we're owed, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Romans 10:9-10 reads this: because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And that's the gospel right there. That's what's required, is faith for forgiveness. It's just faith in what Jesus already did for you. He already died on that cross, and that's how you can be forgiven. So who are we not to forgive? And this is why Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift. See, it's a gift of God. Amen. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. When God forgives us, it requires faith and not works. Otherwise, we would be bragging about it. We'd be boasting about it, and we would get prideful. And salvation is given as a gift. It's not something to be earned or merited.
Amen for that.
Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's oftentimes the root of why we do not forgive.
Amen, Ben. I just, we had the podcast episode of Lord Teach Us to Pray and how we should pray. And there was a verse in the Lord's Prayer that just talks about forgiveness. Yep. And how we, our daily prayer, and just an example of our prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verses 12-15. And this deals with those that offend us or do a trespass. That's what, you know. Either way, sin requires forgiveness, whether it's a trespass, whatever, you offend someone. Matthew 6:12-15 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Amen.
But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This verse is talking in our daily prayers that we should be forgivers and not wait for someone necessarily to come and say, hey, I'm sorry, or will you forgive me?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I believe that it's spiritual forgiveness is not, I'm sorry. Spiritual is, will you forgive me? Because then talk about being sorry. Because I would say, I'm sorry, Mom. My mom would say, you are sorry. That's why you're in trouble, because you're sorry. You know, that's why you messed up, because you are sorry.
It's worldly sorrow versus godly sorrow.
That's right. I think godly sorrow is forgiveness.
Right.
And worldly is just, hey, I'm sorry.
I messed up.
And Ben, my pet peeve is when people say, I'm sorry if I offended you. That is not forgiveness. Or if I said something that would have, you know,
it's
that
like, it's like a conditional statement.
Yeah.
If I did this.
If I did. I'm not saying I did.
Right.
Like if you're an attorney.
You're not admitting it.
Yeah. But hey, if I did, you know.
Hypothetically speaking, if I.
It was your feelings that were hurt because you're tender and sensitive. And it's not because of what I said, of course. I mean, I'm perfect. We all know people like that. No names, but you know who I'm talking about. Colossians 3:13, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to give a story here of I went to a church. I'm not going to say where I went, but I worked at this church. We started going there in 1998. So that's a long time. you know, we got counseled there for marriage, and that's kind of where we kind of grew and things like that. And so we went to the church from 98 to 2010, and I was even staff on that church. And needless to say, I got fired from that job. Initially, there was said, hey, there was no reason why I fired you. Just God was leading me that way. And then it went to, you know, you were late, which is the truth. I was late a lot. So my fault on that. And but I was not, I was bitter from that firing. I was not happy. And we eventually left the church and went to a different church. And I took those same bitterness, say that same bitterness towards my previous pastor to this new pastor. I never gave him a chance. I didn't like him. I had a chip on my shoulder, as we talked about in the Friends podcast episode. And I just was not forgiving of the offense that I felt, you know, that was committed against me. And so I took this in a new church, and then we went to Northwest. And so I still had my reservations about Pastor Shaw and just about pastors in general. Just because you're hurt, and if you don't watch that hurt turns into bitterness and then unforgiveness, which that's what it was. And I started going to the Freedom That Last, and in the book, as you progress, it talks about bitterness, and it deals with before you can pass, you have to deal with whoever you're bitter towards. And it was my old pastor, and it came to the point where Rebecca had to write him, and I had to ask for forgiveness from him in my own life, and I had to forgive him. And my grandma passed away maybe within the year after I asked for forgiveness. And my aunt and uncle still go to the same church, and so he came to the funeral. And I knew that I had forgiven him because I saw him, and I got no... You know, when you're bitter towards somebody and you see him, your blood pressure goes up and you're getting angry. You know what I mean? Like, you either want to punch him in the face or...
Well, that's what that is. I thought it was just that I didn't take my blood pressure medicine that day.
and it could be.
My Lipitor.
Dr. Watson, we're taking Lipitor. But, I was able to see him, and I had no... And all I could remember was the good things. And recently, my cousin passed away as well in February, and I saw him again. And we kind of came full circle. So from the bitterness I had, and I'm like, I'm never coming back to this church again, to going back to the church again to be for my cousin's funeral, and even to the point where he called me up to pray in that church, and we kind of came full circle. And it was good to see him. You know, God used him in my life for a lot of things, and sometimes when you do not forgive, it only hurts yourself. And I don't know that he thought about me more than I thought about him. But it's just a good feeling to that we forbear one another. And I wasn't perfect, and I was wrong too. So I'm not saying that it was his fault. It was my fault for being bitter and being angry. But God used that in my life to show me forgiveness. And I think that's how you know. And I think Pastor Tillotson talks about this. You know, he hurt his wrist, and he said, is it a wound? Like, it hurts when you bend your wrist? Or is it a scar? And we all have those scars where we've been hurt by people, and it should be a scar, but if it still hurts, then we haven't forgiven as we should have. And I always remember that. And I'm just grateful that if we look at what we've been forgiven for and of, we don't have an issue forgiving one another.
Amen. It's interesting how, I mean, you said it, you know, when you're dealing with unforgiveness or bitterness, it affects you even physically. Like, your blood pressure literally goes, I've had this happen. And I don't know if it's adrenaline that kicks in too. I don't know, but you kind of get this, like, it's that flight or fight response, you know, because you just saw the person. You haven't even said anything. They haven't even said anything to you, but because you know that offense is there, and you've not dealt with it. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, I'm not saying forgive so that you feel better, but it's interesting that it does cause issues, physical issues.
It's biblical.
And it's interesting. I've seen, and I won't mention names, but I know personally somebody that I know very close to me that has issues with unforgiveness and holding grudges, and health-wise, man, that person is not doing so hot. I mean, blood pressure, hypertension, there's just a lot of issues there. How often should we forgive? You know, I think it's interesting. We have, you know, Peter, he's being a some he's being the lawyer here. And so if we read in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And I think he thought he was being spiritual. He says, up to seven times. I can just picture it. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And it's not that, you know, Jesus was giving him a finite number. It's just that the terminology or the saying would be pretty much as often as they sin against you, forgive them, you know? And so it's just interesting how we tend to want to draw the line somewhere and say, well, I've forgiven this person so many times. And this time I think we're
cutting them off.
We're done. Okay, but that's not what Jesus said. He said, no, you forgive them. It doesn't matter how many times they offend you.
And then I think of the times in habitual sins that we get into, and sometimes we ask God for forgiveness 100 times a day for the same thing, and we literally just 5 minutes, or we have a sanctification test. Jason knows I don't like to be part of group text, and I'm still part of a group text, and I'm like, I can't get out of it. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And it's a sanctification test, and you got to... Because we offend people the same way. We just don't see it from our perspective to their perspective. We just say we've been offended. But when we offend others, we want them to forgive 490 times and not count that. Yeah. And that's what he's saying. Like, if you count it to 490 times, then you've missed the point.
There's Peter. A problem. Yeah. There's a problem for counting, bro. And so I want to look at some examples of forgiveness in Scripture. We got a few here. I'm going to cover a couple here. So the first one I want to look at is Joseph. And Joseph, if you remember, I mean, he went through a lot. He was sold into slavery. He dealt with things like being in prison. I mean, he became, you know, second in command in Egypt. I mean, there was just a lot of things that happened in his life. But and it's interesting because we read in Genesis 50:19, it says, but Joseph said to them, and when it says them, he's talking to his family, his brothers, he says, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Amen. And so it's like Joseph forgave them. He knew that this was part of God's plan. He didn't even think about, you know, holding it against his brothers. I mean, he could have. I mean, he was second in command. He could have had them bound in chain and put in prison. There was a lot of things he could have done. But he forgave them. I mean, and I think the forgiveness didn't happen at that moment. I think the forgiveness happened a long time before that. This was just the outflow here. Just so happened. This was the timing when they actually met for the first time since they had sold him into slavery.
Well, the dad died here, and then they were coming to him because they were scared. Like the only thing that was keeping Joseph from killing them was the father.
Right.
And they realized, like, no, Joseph forgave you long ago.
Yeah,
I was going to say Joseph, a type of Christ because of that forgiveness. And
so the next one I want to take a look at is Stephen. So Stephen, if you remember, in the New Testament, and I believe it was Stephen, he was one of the deacons, right?
Yes.
He was a deacon. And so in Acts 7, verse 59 and 60, it says this, and as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he had fallen asleep. So what had happened here is Stephen was preaching to them. And he basically said, you are the ones that crucified Jesus. And they didn't like it. They took offense to it. They took hard offense to it, in fact, to the point where they stoned him. And back in the day when they stoned you, they didn't just pick up little stones. I mean, they were boulders. And so they started stoning him. So he's taking a beating. And he still says, Lord, forgive them. Don't hold this against them. And so it's just an amazing... testimony, and it just goes to Stephen's humility.
And then we go to Simon Peter and God's Jesus' forgiveness of Simon Peter. Simon's like, I'll go all the way for you, Lord, and I'll do all these wonderful things. And he told him, he warned him, he said, the cock's gonna crow and you'll deny me thrice.
Yep.
And Peter did. And he remembers, if you remember back when Peter looked the third time he did it, Jesus was watching him and caught his gaze and he was like, humility. Peter was humbled. I think Peter had pride issues, as a lot of men do, myself included.
Yeah.
Luke 24:34 says, saying, this Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And just think that when Jesus had risen, he sought out Peter. He didn't condemn him. He didn't say, I told you. I told you you were going to deny me. And you did it. I told you. And that's how we are sometimes, is we hold grudges against people even when they offend us. And in a marriage relationship, sometimes somebody sins against you multiple times for the same offense. And we're tempted to say, like, you never changed, or you don't even mean it when you say, forgive me, you're just... And it could be they don't mean it, but our position is not to judge motives. Our position is to forgive, as right. God tells us to forgive. Have you ever been betrayed in my life? And I remember an ex-girlfriend, and found out that she had thoughts for affection for another person. And that is a horrible feeling when you're betrayed. I can't think of a worse... Well, I think of worse feelings, but that's a pretty bad in a relationship when somebody, you know, goes out with someone else. And I remember that summer I had, my hair was much longer than it is now, and I shaved all my hair off. And I said, as my hair grows, my heart will heal. Didn't work that way, Ben, you know. My heart still hurt for like 6 months, 9 months after that. Wow. My hair grew back within 2-3 months. And I think of Jesus at that time, and all his disciples departed from him and betrayed him. Yeah. And Simon Peter did. And even though Peter said, I'll go the distance for you. And he still sought him out to forgive him. Mm. And when I'm offended, I didn't go to my ex-girlfriend and say, hey, I wanted just to seek you out to forgive you for betraying me.
Well, and I think it's interesting. And I don't know. And I know a lot of people allude to the fact that, you know, when Jesus, you know, he's cooking fish on the beach, and, you know, Peter shows up, and Jesus confronts him. And it's funny, he confronts him three times. He asks him, you know, Peter, do you love me? And then he says, you know, feed my lambs. But it's interesting, he does it three times. So I don't know, is the confirmation or the affirmation or whatever you want to call it to Peter that, you know, hey, we're good. Like, I forgive you. Is that, you think that was
I think so, because I mean, that passage is a lot of commentators will say that's the passage where the true forgiveness came.
I think it's a beautiful picture, honestly. I really do. I think it's just... It's amazing. I mean, because obviously Jesus forgave him. He died for Peter and his sin. But it was just that confirmation, like, Peter, you're forgiven, you know.
And you think of that when he said, he asked him those three times, and then he said, go feed my lambs. Yeah. And Peter did. Peter went and did great things for God, and God used him. And that's sometimes when, not all the time, when we trespass or do something that we're disqualified, God still uses us if we forgive. And you think of David. And that's why he was a man after God's own heart, because his heart was sought forgiveness and repentance. And Jesus used him to, God used him to do great things, even though he was probably not the best example of godly living.
Right.
If we was our pastor today, he'd be like, sorry, David, you had to step down from the pastor. You probably can't even be a deacon.
I don't know if he meets that requirement.
You can do the offering, or, you know, you could be by the box that people put offering in.
The husband of one wife just kills that. That qualification just kills it.
Oh, man, I didn't think about that. And then I think of another example, the greatest example of all. And we always go to Jesus Christ as the example in all things. Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. And they pardoned his raiments and cast lots. He forgave them. He forgave us. He took the sins of the world. He died for us, Ben, knowing that what we would do, what we would be, the betrayal, the different things in our life that would be trespasses against him. And he forgave us. And he said, even the people that were crucifying him, the people that spit on him, the people that pulled out his beard and put the crown of thorns on him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then in Hebrews 8:11-12 is the new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, for the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to the to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And there's a lot of times where we'll say to one another, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Right. We get to that point. And I think sometimes, humanly speaking, it is hard to forget when somebody does something that's egregious to you, or you do something to someone that's egregious to them. And it's a hard, but he said, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So he's saying, I'm going to cast that to the other side, to the east, to the west. I'm not going to remember those sins. And that's forgiveness is he doesn't bring it up in a right. you pray and he whispers in your ear like, hey Ben, you prayed, you asked for forgiveness yesterday. He remembers yeah. them no more.
What's your problem, bro?
I'm like, why do you keep messing up
again?
You keep eating pork and you're Jewish and what's the matter with you? You had pork all week. What's the matter with you?
Five times, bro.
Really? Really? Is that what you want?
You had pork 70 times 7, bro. Stop.
That verse deals with forgiveness, not pork. Why are you doing it? Oh, man. And I think this is a great one where the woman caught in adultery in John 8, chapter 3 through 11. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Mm-hmm. And when they had set her in the midst, even in our churches, if this were to happen, yeah. it's still a pretty big deal. Those days, that was a stoning. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act, like we caught her in the very act of it. Mm. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They're tempting him. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And he wrote, right?
I know. I love that.
Like if it's their sins or what I don't know. He did something.
He's drawing a mansion.
Yeah. He's doing something, right? I don't know. I'm building a sandcastle. I have no idea. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where art those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. And I think, man, she was forgiven by God, by Jesus, and even in the act. And the key to forgiveness, and when we ask for forgiveness to God, is sin no more. It's not like a license to continue to sin because you're supposed to forgive me.
Yeah,
that's not we still shouldn't offend. But I think of that powerful where people wanted God to condemn her or Jesus to condemn her, and he chose not to.
Yeah,
he said, "I condemn thee not," and that maybe because he knew her repentant heart, or I don't know what it was, but he ultimately forgave in a tough situation.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think he saw her heart. I think she had godly sorrow. She was repentant, and I love what he did. I love how Jesus, I mean, because all of the light was on the woman, but he exposed everybody, because everybody is a sinner. This is why we have no right to withhold forgiveness. I mean, who are we to withhold forgiveness after we've been forgiven so much?
I think just like I'm taking a negotiation class right now, and even in anything that you argue, there's the flip side of the coin. So there's, if you say yes to something, then there has to be a no. And the same thing here, when we are offended, we have to realize that we have offended as well. So we're not innocent of offending people. I don't even know how many people in my life that I don't even know I've offended, but I do know a lot of people for a fact that I have offended, and just, I try not to live my life that way, but it's reality that I've sometimes offensive, like, you know, crazy grit sandpaper on people.
I think that's a great example of, you know, sometimes God brings, and I think it was Dr. Tillotson that mentioned that one too, that sometimes God brings people into our lives, you know, as sandpaper to refine us. You know, sometimes they're rough around the edges, maybe to annoy us or whatever. But again, it's, there's a humility aspect to it and forgiveness. And if forgiveness isn't there, you're going to be miserable. It's miserable. It's miserable when you're dealing with unforgiveness. I mean, we're going to get into that here in just a minute.
I don't think of it, Ben, as the beach. And I've gone to the beach a couple times with my church when I was a teenager. And I didn't have shorts and I rolled up my pants. And we were in San Diego and sand got in there.
Oh, man.
And I had to deal with that sand for the next 4 or 5 hours. And it's not a comfortable feeling, and it grinds on you. And I think, to me, that's the picture of unforgiveness in our hearts. Luke 23, 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Mm. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Amen.
And I believe it's talking about earlier that they both were saying or talking trash essentially to Jesus. And he forgave him. At the moment that he said, Remember me, Jesus forgave his offense. And that's what when we're saved, that there's a forgiveness of sin when we accept that free gift of Jesus Christ. And another memory of forgiveness that he showed even to his last dying breath was the malefactor on the cross. And he did see him very shortly, I'm sure, after that conversation was had on the cross.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think it's interesting he acknowledged him as God. He acknowledged Jesus as God. He says, does not now fear God. And so I think that acknowledgement, I think, plus obviously Jesus could see his heart was repentant, had godly sorrow. And so obviously Jesus forgave him. And I think that's amazing. Today that shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a beautiful verse. Amen. And, you know, so interestingly enough, if we read in Ephesians, we learn that forgiveness is a command. It's not optional. So for those of you who are dealing with unforgiveness, this is a command. Ephesians 4 verse 30 through 32 says, And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It's a command. We read it right here. And I think it's interesting also, the verse right before it tells us to forgive one another, it deals with bitterness and wrath and anger. And oftentimes when you're dealing with unforgiveness, you're dealing with those other types of sins. And it's interesting also, I think that we read in Matthew that forgiveness is also conditional from the standpoint of God forgiving us. It says, For if you forgive others their trespasses, I'm sorry, Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Also, the prerequisite to biblically forgiving others is to be forgiven. So if you've not placed your faith in Christ, if you've not been born again, as spoken of in John chapter 3, then you're pretty much incapable of forgiving others as commanded in Scripture. So that's kind of a prerequisite also. I mean,
how can you forgive if you don't even know?
If you don't know what forgiveness is. Yeah. So what about, and it's also, you alluded to this a little bit ago, you know, what about this whole idea? Because I think it's kind of one of the elephants in the room, so to speak. You know, what about the whole forgive and forget? Well, it's a common question among Christians. And I don't know about you, Sasso, but, you know, I didn't find a proverb on forgiving and forgetting.
Look at the Maccabees, the history books.
It was, you know, Psalm 152 or something. In fact, I don't know about you, but I can't do this. I can't selectively choose what I want to forget. In fact, there's a lot of things stored in my brain that I would love to delete, but it's just not possible. You know, unfortunately, there's just things that I do forget, but I don't willfully forget them because it's impossible for us to forget things on demand.
And man, I go to when you discussed forgiveness and you said forgiveness is conditional in Luke chapter 7, when he talks about the two debtors, he was outraged because he had forgiven a huge debt, millions of dollars. And this guy went out to one of his servants that owed him very little and abused him, basically put him in jail. And the master's like, okay, now you're going to have to go to jail because you didn't appreciate my forgiveness that I gave you. And sadly, we do the same thing. We've been forgiven of all our sins, yep, but yet we want to hammer someone for one sin against us.
For one little thing.
For one little thing.
They called you a name.
They didn't say hi to me, or yeah, pastor walked past me again and didn't say nothing. You know, just things that we get bent out of shape on, or we, and things that, like Jason was looking at me mean, and it's like, well, the sun was in his eyes. Like he wasn't looking at you mean. It's just, and we get caught up on dumb things and, you know, just silliness.
Well, you know, and like I said, the Bible, you know, it doesn't never tell us to forget, but the Bible does tell us to be prudent. In Proverbs 22 verse 3, it says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So that said, I think of it like this. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. I can forgive someone, but that doesn't mean I will immediately trust that person after I forgive them, especially if they are unrepentant. For example, if a woman, let's just say she's physically abused by her husband, which is a horrible thing, but it's very possible that this woman will forgive her husband. However, if he's unrepentant or he has not sought help, it would not be wrong for her to keep her distance. Forgiving someone doesn't mean that you immediately trust or it doesn't even mean that you should pretend that the offense did not happen.
And I think, Ben, with that is there's consequences to our sin. There's consequences when we offend. And even in Proverbs, it talks about that, you know, basically says if you take, you know, another woman from a man, he's going to be hard to be won. Our friend that's lost is hard to be won back because there's consequences to what we do. And we can find forgiveness, but at many times there's consequences. And we have a legal, we have a judicial system that you can be repentive, but unfortunately you still have to pay a debt because of your sin.
And right.
The same thing with us. There's a price to pay where God forgives us, but there's forgiveness to say, don't do that because you reap what you sow. I think that's kind of what I see here too, as well, as there's a prudence in there, but there's also consequences to sin.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, you know, because I think you would have people to say, you know, people that are dealing with the consequences of sin, say, well, you didn't really forgive me because you're making me suffer, or you're bringing pain into my life or whatever. But forgiveness means that you've released that person from any type of repayment or retribution. However, that means that the dynamics of that relationship may and will likely change until trust is regained, which, you know, honestly, it'll take some time, or who knows, maybe it will never happen. I don't know. You know, we're not instructed to forget, but we are instructed to love and pray for our enemies. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, I love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all.
I mean, I remember with you sent me pastor's message. I was on security duty this past Sunday, but I've gotten about 45 minutes into it. Very, very good. I was convicted. Yes. Apologized to my wife about not praying with her, not being the leader I should be. And I think of the forgiveness aspect of what he talked about and how husbands can ruin relationships with their anger, and there's consequences to how we act, and we can destroy. And he talked about your daughters being in that pivotal. Mm. I think your sons too, in the pivotal ages where they seek approval from you, and you push them away, and they may grow up and you could apologize to them, but sometimes there's damage done to our children just by our sinfulness and our lack of not making things right at the, you know, when we should, or being godly as God's commanded us to be as men.
Yeah. I mean, words hurt, right? I mean, they say, you know, sticks and stones, you know, but words will never hurt. That's garbage, bro.
That's a lie.
words rip.
Absolutely.
You know, so one other question, you know, that a lot of people have, you know, is, you know, why is it that we just don't forgive? What's our problem? And ultimately, I think we don't forgive others because of pride. You know, we've already mentioned, someone may have hurt you, you know, said something offensive or offended you in some way, and you're just unwilling to forgive them because they've made you feel bad or perhaps mad. They've angered you. And this is really what it boils down to. And I'm not trying to oversimplify or justify what has been done to you, but this is the reality. You know, forgiveness involves humility. And if you'd like to hear a little bit more about humility, I think we have episode number 4, which is on humility. So check it out if you get a chance. And just like you said, Sasso, you know, there's consequences, you know, for unforgiveness, you know. You know, and some of the consequences also for unforgiveness, it leads to anger, you know, or jealousy, bitterness, or hate. You know, just think of what the U.S. would be like if we were to have forgiveness for one another, what the world would be like if forgiveness was a priority. I think, you know, you were talking about Dr. Tillotson, and I remember I don't think he's the original quote on this, but he quoted this quote in one of his sermons. He said, you know, bitterness is, it's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Yeah.
And it's so true. It's like you're so unwilling to unforgive, you'd rather drink poison. And the reason it's like drinking poison is because you're miserable when you're in bitterness and when you have anger. And it's just like we mentioned earlier, when you see that person, you start, your blood pressure goes up and you start thinking thoughts like thoughts you probably just should not be thinking.
And I think many times too, that person's not even thinking about you, you know. And I remember back to a boss I had at Target, and on honestly had thoughts of bringing a gun to work and shooting him because he'd make me so mad.
Wow.
And I hate to admit that, but it's a sinful thought I had. And just And I let it get to that point where I'd see his car in the parking lot, and I just was already, before I even got to work, I was already a hot mess. And just because, and he was unsaved just being who he was. That's what the world, you know, that's what, and I was a Christian that knew better and dealt with it in a different way.
Yeah, well, I think it's funny because, like, you know, we have these thoughts, you know, when we're in bitterness, and it's like we go down all these little rabbit trails thinking thoughts, like trying to find a way that we can justify the sin, or that we can justify saying something to that person or doing something to that person. Like, I know it's funny. I had we had a Jeep not long ago, and we took it down to the car wash over here on 43rd and Bell, and it had a light bar on it, and I was getting ready to sell it, so I just wanted to go clean it. And so we ran it through the car wash. Well, what they're supposed to do is turn the top brush off, but the dude didn't do it. He didn't turn it off. And so it ripped off the bar, and it threw it onto the Jeep, which scratched the Jeep. And so we got out of there. I parked. I went and I notified them, like, hey, your car wash damaged my vehicle. And they gave me my light bar back because it was in their car wash. And he said, okay, here. And he gave me this little appointment time to come see the manager like a week later. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I came back, and they basically told me, yeah, sorry, it's not our problem. And I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. And they didn't give any restitution, nothing. I was so mad. I'm like, I'm thinking of ways, like,
I'm going to burn this place
down. What can I stick in their vacuum cleaner to damage it? What can I do? You know, I'm just thinking of all these things. And I just thought, you know what? I give it to the Lord. Lord, here you go. And I'll be honest, though, sometimes I drive by, and they the thoughts creep in. I'm like, stop. I'm like, I forgave him. Stop.
Vengeance is mine.
Well, because the car wash is just right there. I pass by every time I go get groceries. It fries. It's right there, you know. So, but yeah, it's crazy what your brain. When you start thinking, the thoughts you have. That's just how we're wired.
We go down a dark place.
Sin is bad, bro.
And Ben, I think of the parable the unmerciful servant. So bear with me as we read some verses here. And in Matthew 18, starting in verse 22, it says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Their servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence, denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him."
Yeah, and it's interesting. I noticed the parallels here. You know, it is a parable, but we see, you know, God is kind of the king in the story of the parable. And then you could say, I'm the servant, you know, and, you know, I was forgiven the big debt. And then there's a fellow servant, and we'll name him JB just for fun. just kidding. But what prevented the servant from forgiving his fellow servant? And I would say it's pride and greed. And what was the consequences? I mean, he ended up going back into prison himself. And I don't know if maybe they sold off his wife and his kid. I mean, who knows? But the judgment was just. Whatever God does, whatever God, you know, gives you as consequences, it's perfectly just. So you can't go back and say, well, hey, what about that? No, it's perfectly just.
And what's crazy with the irony here is that he forgot in a matter of, I don't even know what the time frame was, but he forgot what he had been forgiven of. And said, "No, I'm going to go take it out on somebody," not realizing his own self. And we're the same way, right? We go on our way and we forget and we get bent out of shape, and you know, we basically ran over somebody's front lawn and did a donut, and their grass gets on our tire. Like, I can't believe this grass stayed in my tires. Like, well, look at what you've done. Are you kidding me? Like, you did donuts in my house. Like, you jerk face. And we do that with God, and God forgives us, and we're like, oh, but, you know, Ben didn't look at me, or Ben didn't say hi, or he didn't respond to my text, or, and it's so silly. And I talked about this, Freedom That Last, when a pastor was talking to me about the church, and he was trying to fill me out about Freedom That Last, and he was asking me about things I wanted to serve and things that I was offended. And I was like, not offended, just how things were going. And I said, well, they never invite me to play basketball on Sunday nights. And I feel like they should invite me. And he didn't, I don't even think he heard me. He just like blew right out, over blew that off. And then just said, hey, do you want to do fear in the last, you know? And I was eating a Caniac from Cane. So I'm like, I'll do whatever you want me to do at this point. I mean, I have Caniac, you know, I was happy. And I think I look back at that and I think how silly and petty that was to be offended by not being invited to play. But I mean, you know, when you're 5'5", not many people invite you to play basketball. You know what I mean? Unless they want a water boy or something. So I get it. But it's just so easy how we get offended over the dumbest things when God forgave us of a great debt that we owed him.
Man, shame on us, bro. I'm sorry, brother.
No, it's all good. I think about that because I just think of pastors coming to talk to me about a great ministry that has changed my life, and I'm worried about not being invited to play basketball. Like, it pales in. I mean, it's so silly and petty, and that I have to go back to my mind because I'll do it again for something. I go, Sazo, what are you doing? Like, you get over it. Like, forgive, move on. It could be that they don't even know who you are. Rebecca says I have a mean face, which is code for ugly, and they don't want to talk to you. You know what I mean? So anyway. We'll move on from there. Matthew 18:35, the Bible says, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. And Matthew Henry states for this, the humbled sinner relies only on free, abounding mercy through the ransom of the death of Christ. Let us seek more and more for the renewing grace of God to teach us to forgive others as we hope for forgiveness from him.
So if we look at the reasons why there's a need for forgiveness, I'm just going to jump right over to Romans 5:8, which says, "But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So who are we not to forgive? I mean, after all, we've been forgiven so much. I mean, I think I lived 26 years of my life, and I lived in most utter sin. And even after I got saved at 26 and I gave my life to the Lord, guess what? I sinned and I've been forgiven so much. And I still, just like Sasso said, you know, on a daily basis, why did I do this again? Lord, forgive me. I go to 1 John 1:9. If you forgive your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. And I'm so grateful for that verse. I'm so thankful for the forgiveness that God has given me because I don't deserve it.
Amen. I think these verses that I'm going to repeat right now are showing us why we are in need of forgiveness. And whenever we sin, that's a trespass that is in need of forgiveness. Our condition is in need of forgiveness. Romans 6:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalms 51:5, this is David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I always think of my birth as the first surprise party I experienced. You know, I mean, I came out and people, hey, here's your son, you know, surprise, it's a boy. And from that moment, I was a sinner. From sin, from the womb to the hospital crib, I was already all messed up. So that's why forgiveness is needed in our lives, because we're sinners and we do sin and we do offend. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, we offend a holy God. And after that, we offend each other and we omission, commit, you know, there's times where we offend and we don't even mean to offend, or we say things that, you know, we put our foot in our mouth and I shouldn't have said that. And maybe we didn't mean nothing by it, but our actions, or we're insensitive, or we're empathetic. And I was on somebody that I missed, my son Nate, and they're like, well, at least you didn't have all of your kids go. And like, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I feel much better. Thanks, you know.
Wow.
Woo. They just, I wish I should have called you sooner. And then you have to forgive, right? You have to forgive and say, well, they didn't mean it that way.
Right.
But you just, we're insensitive sometimes. We're not empathetic as we should be.
Yeah.
I'm guilty just the same. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a proper verse, man, because he was perfect, holy, and he took upon sin for us because we were trespassers. We were in need of forgiveness, and he died for us and his son so that we can spend eternity with him.
Amen.
What a powerful truth here of why we needed to be forgiven. I think of the prodigal son, Luke 15:18-24. And this is really a story of us, right? A story of our life. You talked about you came to the Lord at 26 years old.
Yeah.
And this is us. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. So now we have repentance. Mm-hmm. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. True forgiveness here. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
It's a beautiful story. You know, the Bible says that the angels rejoice over one repentant sinner. And I just think, you know, you see the parallels here, that, you know, the father's God and I'm the prodigal son. And the day that I came to know the Lord, that was my day. I came home and the angels rejoiced when I repented. And it's just such a, it's such a beautiful story. And it's also a story that it makes me sad because I know there's prodigals out there. And they've not come home yet. And the father's waiting. God's waiting. Jesus is waiting there. He wants to put a ring on your finger. He wants to put a robe on your back. Amen. He wants to kill a fatted calf and have a celebration. And it's just, if they would just repent, if they would just, and it's not so far. You don't have to travel far. You just get on your knees and repent.
Amen. I think of us as Christians too, in the state of where we are, where we walk out the father's house and we pursue sin. We think we're living it up with the world and we're attracted to the world. Mm. And then pretty soon we find out that we're eating with the pigs.
Yeah.
And we're having that lifestyle that we're like, sin is ugly, right? Sin has consequences and sin does bad things, ruins relationships, ruins families, ruins jobs, all kind of things, all the consequences of sin and the ugliness of it. And I think of the day I walk out my father's house that he's just waiting for me to come back. He doesn't leave me. I leave him and he's just waiting to, he said, have your robe so ready, your mansions. Like, I'm ready for you to come back, Sasso. And he desires that we have a relationship with him. And that's when we have consequences to bring us back to the Father. And he said, you know, if I chasten you, that just means I love you.
Yeah.
And I want you back. Just like our fathers did for their own purposes and to train us, he does it because he ultimately loves us and wants that right relationship. And he's willing to forgive us. And just like you said, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank God for that forgiveness that he gives us anytime we ask for it.
Amen.
No grudges. No, oh, you did this yesterday. He's not like that. I'm going to forgive, but I can't forget. He doesn't do that with us because he's God. And praise God for forgiveness.
Amen, brother.
And Ben, I would just close with this. Just a challenge out there to our listeners is, who do you need to forgive in your life? And I think of the context of Jesus, his beard being plucked out, and none of us here, you know, maybe you're a woman and you have a beard, I don't know, but your beard, I can't grow one to save my life.
Wow.
So I just probably offended someone there, so forgive me. And we think of that Jesus, his beard being plucked out, and nobody's done that to us, but yet Jesus was able to forgive those that did that. I think of those that put a crown of thorns on his head that pressed him down and mocked him. He still forgave them. So if he can forgive for those offenses, what could we forgive others for the pettiness of not inviting you to play basketball or dumb stuff in our lives? God, help us to forgive as we have been forgiven and of all our unrighteousness if we have placed our faith on him. And not all accept that forgiveness, Ben, unfortunately, and Jesus is waiting to forgive you if you simply accept his the price he paid forgiveness.
Amen, brother. And so thank you guys for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you have any prayer requests or you have a prayer need or something, you can reach out to us on abundantlife.fm. Sasso and I would love to pray with you. Or if you'd like to do a Bible study, maybe you don't know the Lord, maybe you've not experienced this forgiveness that we're talking about in this episode, and you'd like to do a Bible study, abundantlife.fm, there's a contact button on the upper right hand corner. Just click that and contact us. We would be happy to reach out to you by whatever means, whether it's phone, email, text or whatever.
Even tacos, Ben. I'll even buy if they want to come out to dinner. We can have devotional and tacos.
If you are local in Phoenix, Arizona, if you live in the Valley, we would love to do tacos with you. Yeah, we know all the good taco places. So
first round's on me.
and we know all the good places, man. Again, if you would just subscribe and be sure to share this podcast out with your friends and family, we would appreciate it. We love you guys. We thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.